Okay, and on to the next question. How will each candidate vote on Hart or Proposition 1? And we haven't started in the middle, so why don't we start with you, Kimberly? How will each candidate vote on Hart or Proposition 1?
I'll be voting no on Proposition 1. I see it as another way to take our roads, take from our road and trail fund. I went back to some papers from 2015. I also voted no then about the 0.75% sales tax revenue getting taken from Hart. We just had a great tourist season as far as sales tax revenue. And I feel that putting now the road maintenance requirement onto our Hart fund, which is to build and restore roads and trails, I feel like putting that new requirement and changing that language for the Hart fund is a way for the city government, I'll be real honest, a way for the city government to permanently take money from our Hart fund, which was not designated to maintain the roads and do the sanding and cut alder bushes along the roads and the sidewalks. So by that proposition, I look at it like they're asking to put a cost indefinitely on the Hart program, which to me is taking the money forever. And I feel like the Hart fund might as well not even get back the 0.75% if I were going to vote yes for that, but I'm not. I'm voting no. I voted no in 2015, and I stand by supporting the Hart Fund for what it was designed for, so I'll be voting no again.
Hi, I'm Dwayne. I'll be voting yes. That's a tough one. It's we put ourselves in a bind here. And I feel like the sales tax, because of the tourism, would cover more of take a bigger part, and the citizens would be paying less. So the way it stands right now, I just I don't like it, but I would try and take the least bite out of the people on this situation.
I just want to clarify, the Hart Fund is the Homer Accelerated Roads and Trails. I'm sure most in this room are probably aware of that, but I wanted to clarify that for anyone who may not be aware of that. And what it's asking for is to include the maintenance of roads and trails into the Hart Fund, which is 0.75% of sales tax that is designed to build new roads and trails and sidewalks, I believe. And this was a struggle for me because I saw the viewpoint of what Kimberly was saying, is that it was originally brought up by voters to be able to have a certain fund that we knew that we were going to make progress on the non motorized vehicle access through town that we see as a priority. But like Dwayne said, we put ourselves in a bind. So I'm going to be voting yes on this Hart Fund, because I think that it will give the City Council the flexibility to prioritize and be able to maintain the roads that have been built. But I think that we should have a certain percentage that is not going to be used for the maintenance, because we don't want the whole thing to be on maintenance, because then council could come in and always have an excuse, well, we've got to maintain, we had so much snow plow, and then years go by and we don't have the roads, trails, sidewalks that we want built. So I think there needs to be a measure of an accountability in that, but right now we need to move forward with that so that council can be flexible and to be able to take care of what we do have.
Hi, Andy Keita here. At first I was leaning towards a yes vote on the Hart Fund to maintain roads and trails that exist. And I researched on the internet. I really didn't get adequate information from what I was hoping to find. And it kind of makes it sound as if the Public Works Department is maybe underfunded, or they can't keep up with what they already have. And since I'm a really frequent pedestrian, I don't know if anybody has ever noticed that. And I was curious, how come there's not a sidewalk up Main Street where the emergency room access is? How come there's not a maintained trail between Saviemore and Pioneer Ave and things like that? So I really am still in between as far as a yes or no on that situation. Thanks.
Rachel Lord, and I will be supporting Homer's Prop 1 for the Heart Fund. You know, we are in a bind. We are facing a tough fiscal future starting in 2019 when the Heart suspension ends. And so I do think that it is easy to build infrastructure without having the funds to maintain it, and it's really important to have that leverage to be able to do so. That being said, road projects are very expensive. And I believe that there have been, you know, a lot of projects that have happened where there have been federal dollars or in the past state dollars to be able, but the states had the Heart Fund to be able to say, well, we can do the design. We've got the money to match that. So we've been able at the table, shovel ready to say, yeah, we can go ahead and take advantage of that. And so I think the council going into the future does need to be very mindful of maintaining the Heart Fund at some level to not foreclose upon future capital projects with our roads and trails. I will say that I think that the funds that were just used from the Heart for the park trails Karen Hornaday Park by Woodard Creek, that was an amazing volunteer effort. It was amazing work by the Parks and Rec Commission. Thank you to Deb and all the other folks that worked really hard on that. And that was a really cool use of Heart Fund dollars that leveraged not only the money that was there, but then a huge amount of community time and dedication to make a project like that happen. So yes, we need to be creative. We need to be creative in how we move forward with projects, but we don't want to foreclose upon having some money. That being said, we are in a bind, and I don't know that there's any way around having those monies available for our regular road maintenance.
I think everything needs to be revisited, especially at tight financial times. So I will be voting yes and supporting the Heart Proposition 1. I wanted to invite everybody to the 24th to see the latest trail, because it's an amazing trail, and we used Heart money for that. It generated it paid for some of the city gravel and the equipment. And so I agree, I was totally in agreement, I was going to agree with Rachel on this, that we use it for leverage. And so the council will be looking at this carefully, because we don't want to give up our leverage, the amount of money that we can match or to help get trails in.
What do you think the city council should do to address Homer's opioid problem?
I don't see it as a city council having a law. Like, you can't use opiates. I don't believe in that. But I think what the city can do, be very, very supportive of the agencies that work with that, and that we can listen. And as we see things happening as people, members of our community, there's times for sharing and talk about if there's, for instance, a workshop coming up where we all can be educated to make the other council members aware that that workshop is coming up. But as far as what can the city do, I wish we had an answer to that. I don't believe the city can do much except support the services that we have here to work with the problem.
Thanks, Rachel Lord. And I agree with Caroline. The city only has so many tools available at its disposal. I think supporting our police department, making sure that the police have adequate resources, not just in their basic law enforcement, but in health and human safety, which I know that they do, as well as our EMS staff. I think in a lot of instances, the city doesn't actually have a direct role to play. You know, another thought, you know, another concern in this community is with the early closing of, or the early release of schools. So with the busing schedules that have come now, the city doesn't really have a huge role that they can play immediately at the table. But I think always and in public health and social services, having an arm extended, a hand extended, such that the city is an open partner. It's an open partner, it's a listening partner. There's not a lot of dollars to be had on the table, but it is worth a lot to have willing, open, listening partners sitting around a table, and we are all part of this community. And to pretend otherwise, or that this doesn't affect me, this doesn't affect my kids, I don't have kids, what have you, I think it's really important as a city that we are paying attention, that we are listening, and that we are kind and empathetic when it comes to these situations, and not be so terrified that someone's just gonna be looking for a ton of money that we shut the door on that. So I think that having an open mind, having an open voice, being willing to be having a seat at the table, to do whatever the city can do within their limits and within their resources is extraordinarily important.
My name's Kimberly. When it comes to, I'm going to just keep it at addiction. It's a comprehensive approach. There has been some informative seminars, if you want to, or groups that the city has put together to get information out to people. I think information is imperative to first understand addiction and accept it as a disease. I didn't define it. The American Medical Association did. Finding a way, I mean, the stigma when it comes to addiction is always going to be there. There's always going to be a stigma, but decriminalizing it and taking a more therapeutic approach and helping work with Socata, and because their services, they're very limited and they try hard here, but they have a more outpatient 5-day-a-week program up in Kenai. We do not have one here in Homer. Expanding there, I think, is important. I think a detox unit on the hospital is imperative. Especially when it comes to things like benzodiazepines and alcohol, because of the seizure risk and people dying from that, that is a medical detox. So I see that as essential. And really, don't get me wrong, if people commit a crime because of addiction, they still have to be held accountable for that crime. I'm not saying that alleviates them a crime because they have a disease of addiction. What I am saying is a lot of those crimes don't occur. And I was looking up some FBI statistics, and our crime is increasing, is nearly doubled. And we still have the same aging population, and they're not the ones committing the crime. So turning a blind eye and not doing much for addiction in the addiction area is not working for us. I personally almost had my home, and I'm right next to Chris Story in the bottom of West Hill, and I almost just got robbed a month and a half ago. So those are the kinds of things that I'm being encountered with. In the city limits, so, but awareness and acceptance of it a disease is where it's going to start.
I really feel for our police department trying to deal with this. It kind of reminds me of the Vietnam War, where we had a certain line that we couldn't cross to go chase the enemy. And so I would look into either finding out from FBI or some other drug dealing law enforcement to stop the flow of it. And then the other thing is opportunity. You know, like Kimberly said, there's a reason why people start doing it. And what that reason is, it might be depression or it might be whatever. And deal with them in a different way. But our local law enforcement, their hands are tied at a certain point. State troopers have a little more range, but we have to deal with this problem that's coming from farther away, and we have to get involved with law enforcement to pursue and to stop the flow of narcotics.
I'm Sarah Vance, and I agree with Rachel and Caroline that we need to, as from a city council perspective, support the services that are in place. But something that we can also do is research what is the reality of the opioid problem in Homer, and how is it affecting the police department? How many calls are they responding to? How is it affecting the different departments, the fire? You know, how is it affecting the people that live within our community? And know the reality that we're facing. Is it affecting the businesses? Is it affecting property? Is it affecting the homes? Because this is not just a typical drug abuse problem. This started, what I've heard is that many of the opioid problems started from pharmaceuticals. It's the regular people who had the surgery or an injury, and they were given a prescription drug by their doctor and became addicted. And then found out that heroin is a cheaper form of that opioid. So it's becoming a much deeper problem because it's affecting people who would not naturally be inclined to the addictive drugs. And so we need to find out how is it truly affecting Homer rather than hearing rumors that we have a problem. Let's see what scale it is and how we can meet that as a community and help support the services and find out if we need to expand the services that are here and how we can help partner with that.
Hi, Andy Keita here. Well, the best, in my opinion, the most simplest way to do this would be definitely to support our public safety department, let them, allow them to do their job. Perhaps they could devote an individual or maybe a group of individuals more time to specifically find out more about what's going on within our community, where it comes from, who's using, who's selling, things like that nature. And then with coordination with state and federal agencies, they can maybe help, you know, crack down on this problem that exists. The crime wave that comes along with it will probably change as people become healthier and more conscious. Us as individuals, if you see a problem, maybe you could encourage that person to seek help and help them to find help because it's available. And if you felt motivated to do that, it'd probably be a very beautiful thing for that person's life and their family and their friends. Thank you.
Will you raise or would you be in favor of raising or lowering the tax burden on our citizens?
Have to be a really good reason. I live in Homer. I don't want my taxes raised. This would take a really critical thinking, problem solving, consensus building. I'm not sure where I would fall on that. I think I would. I would really be listening, but I would have to be. This would take a long time. It would not be something that would happen in a few meetings, and I would have to have a lot of a public testimony to listen to, and people that would contact me about it before I would be able to make a decision that I think I don't know what it would be on. So I just want like raise taxes on what? That I guess that's what it's not a specific.
It's unspecific.
So it's a difficult question. And so I'm going to just say at this time that I wouldn't be prepared to raise or lower taxes until I have a reason.
Thanks, Rachel Lord. And I don't, that was Caroline. I don't see a capacity at this point to lower taxes such as they are. I also look at, you know, the property taxes that we are paying in Homer are really high. We're also paying fairly substantive sales tax. We can't divorce ourselves from what's happening in Juneau, what is going to happen, hopefully something will happen in Juneau. And I think making sure that our council is present and active with the Alaska Municipal League, with the other municipalities around the state, active in Juneau, present in Juneau, making sure that we are protecting whatever revenues we can and we're protecting our citizens when Juneau is making decisions. We have to have enough revenue to cover our core services. I do believe that we are functioning with mostly our core services. And we are not a small town. The city has all the same cost of living increases and challenges that we all do as households and private business owners. So, you know, I think that there is no silver bullet. There's no one tax that's going to save the day. We aren't operating in a vacuum. We are in a state that is in a very tenuous place. So having our ear to the ground, doing the hard work to know what's going on that level, having a voice at that table as much as is possible is critically important. And then listening to one another, understanding where there may be opportunities, and they may be little opportunities. They're not going to be big slam dunks, but wherever there are little opportunities that we are aggressively looking at that, critically looking at our operations and trying to move forward in that manner.
Regardless of what it is being taxed, I'm always in favor of lowering taxes for the citizens of Homer wherever possible. Like I said, regardless of what it is, I would always try to avoid raising the taxation that falls upon citizens of Homer. I feel like we already pay enough taxes and a high cost of living to live here and have a food tax, seasonal food tax at times we vote on, and food's already expensive. So I'm always in favor of definitely not increasing taxes if we don't have to. I would always go to look to lower them or not change what's being taxed versus increasing it. I'd like to try to find other avenues to address financial issues within the city to increase our revenues and monies coming in to be spent on other services and so forth and keep things afloat in the city other than taxation.
I am Dwayne. I definitely want to lower taxes. But the reality is that we're in a tough spot. My idea of trying to not hurt the Homer resident is going to be on, if it has to come to a bed tax, if it has to come to a tourism tax, that would be the avenue that I'd go if we had to raise taxes. It's not, we just don't know. We have a budget now, but we don't know what they've cut our dividends. They've shrunk our funds. So my goal is to create revenue and to fill them gaps, but it's going to take time. And I want to have all the services for each individual of Homer to be met. But my goal is to get them taxes lower.
My name is Sarah Vance, and my first response is, let's avoid more taxes at all costs. But the reality is that we have a new police station building on the horizon, and how are we going to pay for it? And we have to come up with that creative solution. Now, the one that is proposed is the smaller of the numbers that have that has been tossed around. It's currently on the table as a $6 million building. And there is some money from the city's permanent fund to help pay for that. So the loan wouldn't be as big as originally proposed. But we need more ideas on how to pay for that without having to raise taxes. But that is one of the easiest revenues to kind of have a level way for everyone to contribute, because the need is great for our police station. So my thought process is, let's look to the budget, and during lean times, let's cut down where we can and to avoid taxes, because we are facing with the reality that we have increased taxes with the state, increased taxes with the borough, increased taxes with the federal government. That's always up in the air, right? You know, of how much they're going to tax us. And so we have a limited spending capacity. We also have a higher percentage cost of living here on the peninsula than in other areas of the state. So I don't want to incur more taxes, but I'm not going to make any promises as a candidate, because I also see that we have a police station building that needs to be funded, and I want the citizens to be, I want all of us to be open on how are we going to pay for it for that short time.
Oh, let's see here. My name is Andy Kita. In favor of raising or lowering taxes, I really not the person that would have a really good point of view on that. I do not own property. So basically, the only tax I pay is sales tax on the things I buy here. I'm in favor of tax in general, because we have to do pay for the city services that we all have and we all use. The new police station is going to cost money. We could potentially build it so that the long-term expenses could be very low if we use modern green technology to facilitate the building like that. If you're going to raise taxes, you're singling out a group. If you lower taxes, you're going to single out another group. And, you know, if that's something that's going to have to happen at some point, apparently, I'm in favor of certain situations that could exist, like a bed tax, maybe alter some harbor taxes, maybe increase the sales tax a little bit. But, you know, you have a budget, you have revenue that comes in. If it doesn't match up, you have to primarily probably change the budget before you change the revenue situation. Thank you.
Okay, and now we will move over to our news panel here, and we'll be asking questions. So we'll go back and forth here between us and Homer News. And so just kind of go on the same vein of the budget. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, budget and finding efficiencies. What are some cuts you think Homer could make in the budget, and what services would you consider essential? Because you hear that term quite a bit, but what do you consider essential services? And whoever would like to take that question first, you can go ahead with your 2 minutes.
I just repeat
There has been a lot of talk about the budget and finding efficiencies within it. What are some cuts do you think Homer could make in the budget, and what services do you consider essential to keep in the budget?
That is a tough question. I think our roads are a priority. I think, roads would be a priority, and our harbor would be a priority. I think that's gonna pay off in the long run. I am just not really sure. I'd have to really think about that. There's just too many options you might make a statement here of being able to make a cut, and you'd really be hurting somebody by not thinking about it. I think I'm gonna just leave it at that.
Okay, Sarah Vance, and let's start with the easier of that. Essential services are obviously going to be safety, which entails police and fire, public works, the roads, port and harbor. I'm sure there's something that I'm missing on that list that we already have in place, that is supposed to be provided. Those are essential services that we obviously can't give up. And areas that I would cut, there's... I hate to steal Rachel's term, but there's no silver bullet here because we are operating on a very thin budget. But I do believe that if everyone goes through, each department goes through and says, how can we streamline this? How can we tighten up, in any way possible, then we're going to save the budget. And even if it's just a small amount, that's saving that because it multiplies out over time. And then investing in areas that will produce revenue. We need to focus on capital projects that are going to give a return, such as the large vessel haul out and the deep water dock. The large vessel haul out has been moved up in priority with the capital improvement projects, and I'm very excited about that because not only does that meet the needs of our current community, but will also bring in revenue from the surrounding area, and will create jobs for people here without having to go learn a new skill that's completely foreign to them. So it meets many needs, and that's just starting with an investment that the city can make that will in turn create more revenue without having to make cuts. But just like within our families, when times are tight, we look at, okay, what can we do without for a while? It doesn't mean that it's forever, but for a short time, let's scale back as tight as we possibly can to make it through until times are good again. And that's what I think we can do in the city.
Oh, hi, Andy Keita. Let's see. The public works, the harbor, and public safety department are by far the largest parts of the Homer City budget. And if you really wanted to cut something, you'd probably cut something within those three budgets that is, it's something that's going to help gain later on, like the large water vessel haul out. Like, that could bring money later. So cuts to something else would be insignificant, really. I think you'd want to keep it within those three large expenditures if you're going to eliminate some of the budget, in my opinion.
I'm Kimberly. All the essential services I'd keep in the budget, and some of them have found funding for. The first one I would definitely keep is the Homer Senior Center Alzheimer's Unit that they requested. I would the Hillside Stability of South Peninsula Hospital needs done. That's going to cost us about $100,000, but that's essential to make sure there's no damage in the future done to the hospital on that cliffside there. I support that. I would keep the barge and mooring, large haul out, the wood grade replacement, where they, because that's an expensive way for them to work on the hull of their boats. I feel the mental health, the South Peninsula Mental Health Annex is highly important, so that clients have appropriate privacy and so forth when they're going there. And I mean, I don't want that to be any kind of HIPAA problem either for our city, for not ensuring they have the privacy there. I support the truck loading dock upgrade because I've worked on there and it's easy to slip off there. I mean, we use the ramps that come off the ends of the truck and a ramp needs built there. I would cut the bathroom projects, all the restroom projects, much as I really wouldn't want to cut the upgrade to ramp 2 restroom, I would. I was down there this past summer and spent a lot of time fishing down there and it functioned just fine. So, yeah, I'll just keep it at that.
So I do think that we are operating on a really lean budget. I think that our core services are the services that we are currently providing, that they are our fire, they are our police, they are our harbor, our water, our sewer, our roads, our public works, and our library. I believe those are all core essential services to the functioning of our city, as we appreciate it and benefit from it. I don't see a lot of opportunity to cut. I think that's a place where voting yes on Prop 1, allowing for that HART fund to be used for maintenance, is going to help this problem. I mean, our budget has not grown beyond the costs, you know, like insurance increases. We can't, you know, I think actually there are some creative thoughts. There are people working on ways to try to keep our insurance costs down, being aggressive on that front and always looking for opportunities to keep those, you know, somewhat fixed costs down to push down that in our budget. I think that is, you know, that is kind of what we're looking at. So as far as, that I don't see being able to make more cuts. And I do think that with our employees, we have to be careful with the budget. We have to be careful to not undermine our city departments and the capacity of our city departments to do their work by undercutting our personnel budgets. And so, you know, I think it is something that we need to be really mindful of and be always looking for places to save, always looking for efficiencies, always looking for ways that those operational costs can come down, but to be really mindful of the costs in the long term.
Yeah, there isn't much that can be said about this. Cutting anything, I looked at the budget and it is extremely, I thought, very slim. I agree that public safety works, our fire and police department, our roads, our water and our sewer and our library are key core essentials to our city. I think we have to look at their budgets, but trust the people that work within there that's a livable budget for them. I guess when I think about cutting anything, this sounds something, but you know, how many times do they need to clean their police uniforms? Are we that nitpicky about it? Are we looking at the number of bullets the police station uses to practice? I mean, if that's what it details, that kind of detail has to go into it, and you then you have to give the city council some time to look at that. One of the things I was sad to see go is the Citizens Academy, because I think when you have the citizens educated, and that's what the Citizens Academy did and involved, then you get more ideas. So I know it's spending some money, but the Citizens Academy did involve people. And the more people that come to the table with ideas, I think the better solutions there are. To just ask the people that are in city council, this, what would you cut? That's a very complicated matter that I don't believe that anybody in the city council has an answer for. It's like I'd cut slash this. But I think it takes some good listening and educated people. So I would like to continue the Citizens Academy to give the population an opportunity to work with the departments and work with our city manager and our mayor and the city council and be educated on what goes together, to how complicated and really important it is when you have to make a decision on the budget. That was Caroline.
Forgot to say my name.
At the end. Megan Pacer, Homer News. I'd just like to know from each of the candidates whether you agree with the current council's resolution and memorandum asking the legislature to reevaluate the recall statutes regarding recalling municipal officials, whether you think those could use a reevaluation, or you're more in the camp that those are sufficient as is. Whoever would like to start.
This is Rachel Lord. I do support that resolution, the memorandum that's going forward. I mentioned earlier that I've been working for the last couple of years facilitating a task force of folks around the state looking at the issue of derelict vessels. And primarily, a lot of that work has been looking at our state statutes and trying to figure out how are they working. And that is, you know, in a lot of cases, our state statutes were written a long, long time ago and haven't been looked at or updated or better defined. And I think it's important to not conflate the idea of better defining or being more thoughtful in the writing of statute with trying to subvert freedom or take away something from people. Really, that law is only as good as how it's written to protect everyone. And if it leaves a lot on the table, then it's not really very helpful. And so I think that it is a public process in Juneau, that there is opportunity always. You have a lot of voices at the table at the state level in Juneau, and that is not an unreasonable thing looking at the number of recalls that have been going on, recall attempts that have been going on around the state for a fairly diverse set of reasons, that it may be useful for the legislator to take up that issue and look at it again.
My name is Kimberly. Absolutely, I favor the referendum going forward, and having the Alaska Municipal League look at it after this past summer and seeing everything torn apart in our community over based on feelings. That leaves statutes are pretty loose when people based on feelings and then rallying up signatures can just keep constantly doing that. These two seats were open anyway, and two of those three people sat these seats that are coming up. So, and then Haines, Alaska, had their recall issue, and then their members survived. So, I mean, I think it's just part of trusting part of the political process. I mean, I think citizens need to understand it's not being proposed to take it there to just change it. We're just asking them to take a look at them. Also, my biggest thing is it puts our city clerk in a position to make a decision as a lawyer. And she's not an attorney. And that's who has to look at it and see if it holds enough water, so to speak, to let that go forward, even with the signatures on it. And that's who has to make that decision. And putting our city clerk in that position to make a decision as if she's an attorney is just, it's inappropriate. And it's not her position. And it's not fair to any of us citizens to have to go through recall efforts and not have appropriate channels and people that are professionals and study law to make decisions as far as recall efforts going forward or not. So we're just asking the league to take a look at it.
Well, I signed that petition, so I'd be a real hypocrite if I wanted to change it now that I'm running for office. I think that process was a very painful process, but I think it needed to be done. I think when I made a phone call down to Minnesota and someone asked me what was going on in Homer at that time, they were, you know, it was just a really sad time for me. And I think that process that we went through brought out some information that we weren't going to become a sanctuary city, and that so I'm fine with the way it is right now because of the things that I've committed to, and I'm actually kind of grateful for the way things kind of got straightened out. I went down to Chamber of Commerce and talked to them about the cancellations that were going on, and that whole situation was just a mess. And so that's where I stand on that.
I'm Sarah Vance, and it's going to
to be no surprise, as my stance on this memorandum and resolution about the recall language being readdressed by a legislature, I do not support it, because I agree with our founding fathers of our nation that believe that a recall is part of the democratic process. And I also have Judge Marston's ruling here from the ACLU versus City of Homer case that says the Alaska Supreme Court has held the statutes relating to recall should be liberally construed so that the people are permitted to vote and express their will. And so I want to ask everyone to not think about the recall, a recall process, in regards to the recall that happened in Homer. Think about it from a different perspective, not attached to the people that we hold dear in this town. And put yourself, if there was a legislature or someone in government that you felt was doing something clearly wrong, and you knew a lot of your friends agreed with you, do you have the right to recall them based upon what you deem as misconduct in office? And I think that that is important, that we leave it liberal so that the will of the people can determine what they consider misconduct in office. This is what our founding fathers had in mind when they established our nation in the Constitution, and I believe that we should uphold this in Alaska as the last frontier, to leave it to the will of the people to be governors, not governed.
Thank you, Sarah. Andy Keita. Liberally construed? Is that what that word was? So liberal to me means progressive thinking, forward thinking, and law is a constantly changing, evolving situation in any environment that may arise or not. So on the bright side of the recall process that went down in Homer, it's a good thing that they're taking a longer look at that statute to see if it still applies to the current times. Thank you.
This is Caroline. I think this is a really good decision to pass this on to the Alaska Municipal League to look at, to clear up and make. It's very murky the way that it's, I interpret it, it's very murky. It leaves room for a lot of interpretation. I think that statutes are changed. We have to revisit things often. I'm all for revisiting this. I'm very sorry for what happened with our city. And as soon as name calling came into it, I have to admit I wasn't reading the articles and staying on top of it. So I believe that there may be some reasons for someone to be recalled, but I don't understand it the way it is. So I want the Alaska Municipal League to define it for me.
Okay. And the city council has been working towards building a new police station for about 3 years. There's been some disagreement on how to move forward. Do you agree with the council's actions so far on how to move forward with that project?
I have the mic in my hand. This is Caroline. I do. I think that they're going in a slow, very careful, and they're getting a lot of feedback. I think they're looking at a lot of different ways, different costs. There's a lot of variables involved in this. I really want to make sure that if the building is built, that it's resilient. That would be what I would be going in for it. But I'm going to be looking at this as creatively how to fund it. I think that this is a service that we provide for everyone, and it's an essential service. The old police station, as we know, is very, very poor shape. So I really want to have the police know that we care about them. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm supportive of the way of movement they're doing, and I'm going to be listening. And I know that there's some creative ways out there to do this. And it might not even turn out to be the way that anybody in this room is even thinking about it. But 3 years is a long time. I want to get moving on it.
This is Rachel. And I think that, I mean, it is nice that I think that a new police station is pretty well top on everyone's priority list. That is a top priority for the city. It is really, I don't think there are too many people for whom it is a question in their mind of whether that's something that we really should or should not be doing. That question is off the table. There are, you know, I think slow and steady is definitely how council's approaching it. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of concern, not only just about the capital cost up front of how much it will cost to build the structure, but there's a lot of question and concern about what are the long-term operation and maintenance costs of a structure that we build. It can't just be a Band-Aid. It can't be something that gets us out of this current building and gets us something that's going to work for 3 years or 5 years, because we don't want to be in the same place we're in now 5 years from now, where we start a whole nother process. I think the council is working in a good direction. I think that they are working diligently and I think that Katie and staff, the chief, are providing a lot of information. And so I am hopeful, and I think that folks are interested and willing to come together and work together on a compromise that will be something that the council can get behind and can bring to the voters, and the voters can get behind to move us forward into that building.
My name is Kimberly. I feel the council now is making good progress with the police building. I don't understand why the city took a look at the two high options first instead of the lowest one we're looking at now. I still think we should take a look a little more in depth, such as like a super frame building, because the earthquake safe and building up where the police station is already because of their location, and then not having to buy a piece of land, obviously, too, on top of that. But their location, more importantly, because they're next to the high school and the fire department. I'm already concerned that if a disaster were to happen, I mean, we don't even have a list of first responders for the city to pull out if a tsunami were to come tomorrow. So, I do understand that the police building still needs to be up and functioning as we build a new one. However, I don't see why we can't put rebar vertical and build around it, the existing building, and let it still function as we build up. I've done some research. Like I said, a super frame is safe. As far as earthquake-wise, they're in a great location. The design I researched would leave empty open floors. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they can have a heliport on the top if they want. It would give them a greater view of the city because they'll be up. And so I still think there's some other options to consider, but I do agree that it definitely does need moved along. We secured $1 million. We depleted and paid off the library fund from the Homer Permanent Fund and then put aside $1 million for the police station. My concern is how we come up with numbers when we don't have a design or even a set location for sure yet, and as well as who's going to pay for that 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, what's that going to look like? I mean, I don't have children here, but I care about children and youth, and who is paying that? The youth, the seniors who already worked and are retired and retiring? So that makes me nervous, but it's definitely essential and needed in the city. I also think we should take a look at doubling the 5 cells to possibly 10, since we house and transport for the state, therefore get paid to do that.
I think we have to come up with creative ways to get this done. And I know I looked at the plan of the new building, and there's a couple of things that can generate some revenue from it if they do have an indoor gun range that could be open to public for funds. They're talking about a gym. I think that's an option too. Maybe memberships could be sold there. We only have so many police officers, and we have all that equipment sitting there. So I'd like to make the best use of that. I know there'd take some ingenuity and creativity on how to make that all happen. But I think that if we can come up with some solutions like that, we can take little bites out of it. Maybe we can handle the new facility a little easier.
Sarah Vance, and I do agree with the current council's decision regarding the police station building. Currently, they are looking at a $6 million building to be built behind the post office on land that was recently purchased, is my understanding. And they've asked for a 10% conceptual design, which should be due back any time for the council to look at and say, what do we get in a building for $6 million? is that going to meet our needs? And as mentioned, you know, there's just over $1 million set aside for that police building so that we don't have to take on more debt. There are different creative ways that they're looking at bonds or FDA loans or what's available. Are there any grants for this? Which, as has been mentioned, it's very slim coming from the state. So I do support where it is right now, but council is awaiting patiently to find out what can we get for $6 million and will it meet our needs. As far as I understand, the building that it has been proposed will have a walkout basement. It will have a roof that you can build another story on so it can make additions in the future and provide that expansion as needed. So there are a lot of positives. And the police station task force, police building task force, did a lot of quick work to be able to come up with options. And so I want to thank them, you know, again, Deb Lowney for her service in that, and the others who poured time into that very quickly for the second task force. So I do support it and look forward to hoping with anticipation that this will be the one so that we can get started on actually having a police station built.
Hi, Andy Kita. I support the council's current actions, nice slow and steady approach to make sure that the building is built to Homer's needs, Homer's expansion potential. But there's a 100% possibility that two of us are going to maybe make a final decision on that situation. So as long as we keep doing research and studying and talking to people and finding out what is actually happening, then we'll be able to figure it out, I think, as a town. Thank you.